I'd like to welcome you to this special edition of Mostly Folk. This, once again, is an interview that I recorded live at the studios of WIOX Community Radio, and I am going to give you, for the next hour here on Mostly Folk, a little bit of that interview along with some of the music, both live and recorded, from Grant Malloy Smith. So let's get it going. Here's a tune from Grant's new album titled Appalachia, American Stories. My name's Audie Martello, and welcome to Mostly Folk.
Put you on your best white shirt, come down to Hatchabee Road. Tell your ma, yeah, tell them all, we're going to Hatchabee Road. There's a path down to the water, we're going there today. Come get you in the water, wash your cares away. Come on, misters, come on, sisters, down to Hatchabee Road. We're all sinners, yes, beginners, down to Hatchabee Road. We're all sinners, just beginners, down to Hatchabee Road. Hatchabee Road, take them to the water, down to Hatchabee Road. Everyone's a coming, the spirit's in the air. All good folks are welcome, we got blessings there. Come up, fathers, dads, and mothers, down to Hatchabee Road. We're all sinners, just beginners, down to Hatchabee Road. Come on, misters, come on, sisters, down to Hatchabee Road.
Billboard Top 10 recording artist and Music Row Country breakout charting songwriter of American roots music, that was Grant Malloy Smith with Down to Hatchabee Road from his new album, Appalachia American Stories. And as I said, I am so thrilled to have Grant here in the studios of WIOX. And Grant, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
I'm so happy you came down. I know you drove down from Rhode Island on kind of not snowy, but yeah, the weather hasn't been fantastic. And like I said, I'm glad I didn't get a call this morning saying, I can't come, it's terrible. But that song I just played, tell me about that song, Grant, because there's also a fantastic video of the song on your website.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, the song is all about river baptisms, which are something in the American Southeast a lot. You see them especially in Appalachia, where my mother's side of my family, people from a church go out to a river and they do a full immersion baptism right there.
Wow.
And that's where we filmed it, at a place where they really do that, down in Townsend, Tennessee, eastern Tennessee. And so I wanted the song to be, you know, joyous and make you want to tap your toe and... Because it is a joyous experience. If you've never seen one of them. Before I did this video, I had seen a few of them. I haven't taken part in one personally, but I've seen them. And everyone just, it's just such a joyful experience. Everybody's, it's like a celebration, yeah. basically. And I wanted to capture that, try to capture that mood.
Yeah, I love it. I love the video because you standing in the water at one point. And Susan, your wife, is included in that video. Susan is listening in.
Yep.
And I love it, as I said. And then what about Tehachapi? What about Tehachapi? You are also, you knew Tehachapi, but you never, you never really, you found that out afterwards, right?
No, I actually, when I was writing the song, I wanted, when you write a song, you have like the metrics of it in your mind. I want it to feel like three syllables, and it should feel like with the accent on the first syllable or whatever when you're writing a song. And I want it to have something like that. And I grew up on the Florida Panhandle, where we have towns like Apalachicola and places like that. And that's, it ties into Appalachia, too, because all those Native American names have the same few roots. Right. And the last show I played before COVID hit last March, the middle of last March, and canceled everything after that, was I played Fiddler's Crossing in Tehachapi, the one you just mentioned. It's there. It's a great venue right there. I'm the last person to play there with an audience. And they still haven't had one in a year and a half since I left.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess that's either good for me or bad for me. Everywhere I go, I close everywhere down. They don't have any more shows after I leave. It's either really that I'm so good that no one could ever be better than me, or that there was maybe a pandemic.
Well, I wouldn't say that at all.
But I did mash up the two names. I mashed up like Apalachicola and Tehachapi because I just like the way they felt the name, and they fit in. So I just made up that name, Hatchaby.
That's so cool. I urge anyone to check out Grant's website, and that is grantmalloysmith.com.
Yep.
And the Malloy is only one L. You should make note of that. And there's lots of information out there about Grant, and we'll cover hopefully as much as we can during this program. Also, Grant's brought along his instruments, and he will be treating us with some live music. And you want to do something right now?
Oh.
You got your guitar in hand.
Got it, yeah. What a coincidence that it's here. I could do the very first song on the record, Appalachia American Stories, is called The Coal Comes Up. The Appalachia has a lot to do with coal, the whole region of eastern Kentucky and West Virginia and eastern Tennessee and that whole region. It also encompasses parts of Virginia and the Carolinas. But it's all through the mountains there. And I wanted to incorporate coal, the rise and fall of the coal industry, because it's a big part of the culture of Appalachia and the history of it. It had a big rise, and then about 1940 it started falling when we switched to using oil to heat our homes instead of coal, which everyone used to use. And of course it has environmental issues, and it has all kinds of layers to that, in that onion. But I wanted to include it. I didn't want to get overly political, but I did want to tell the story from a person's point of view, from an individual's who's looking back at his life as a coal miner. And for better or worse, he raised his family and he put food on the table digging that coal out of the ground. And that's as big as the story gets. It's not meant to be a statement on whether we should have coal or not have coal. Mm-hmm. It's just meant to be a peek through someone's eyes, a real person's eyes.
West Virginia men, hey now, pickaxe in my hands. We'll load our quota, brother, load it if we can. Oh, the coal comes up when a man goes down. Like Tampa, keep the devil coming round. Lord, save me, Jesus, come get me on the ground. Oh, the coal comes up when a man goes down. Lately, doctor, it's getting hard to breathe. I've got the monitor's lung like daddy before me. Hatred, he ain't got no place There's just one color here. Coal's in every face. Oh, the coal comes up when a man goes down. Black temple keep the devil coming round. Lord, save me, Jesus, come get me on the ground. Oh, the coal comes up when a man goes down. I'll cut coal long as I'm able. I've had mouths to feed since I was 10. That coal put 3 squares on a table. Oh, the coal comes up when a man goes down. Black tap will keep the devil coming round. Lord, save me, Jesus, come get me on the ground. Oh, that coal comes up when a man goes down.
Grant Malloy Smith live right here on the Catskills Cafe. Grant, I know, and I've interviewed her a couple of times, a young lady named Tiffany Williams, who's a coal miner's daughter and also a coal miner's granddaughter and also a coal miner's great-granddaughter. I did ask Tiffany how, you know, she felt about the whole situation with the coal miners. She gave a different perspective from that most people don't think about, but there is another side to the coal. As problematic as coal is for the environment, there is something to be said about the people who are doing the work down there.
And that's really what the song's all about.
Yeah, exactly.
The personal side, not the politics or the economics environmental stuff, none of that.
Grant Malloy Smith is here with me. And as I said, Grant is a Billboard Top 10 recording artist and has performed all over the place with all sorts of people. And a quote, I don't know who said this, but somebody said, your lyrics and music are as potent as Woody Guthrie, a reminder of the darker period of Bob Dylan. And that's good. That memorable. And and I have to add,
I wrote that myself.
I figured that.
I'm only kidding. I did not write that.
I have to add that I said to Grant before, his voice is very memorable and I love his voice. It's this. I can distinguish it from other voices, and that's, I think that's important.
I don't
important.
Sound like Justin Bieber anymore like I used to.
So Grant's new album is called Appalachia American Stories, and why don't we play another tune? We'll play a song from the album. Let's go right down my list here. How about the red-haired girl from Hazard? You want to introduce that one?
Yeah, that's about my mother.
Are you kidding?
She was from Hazard, Kentucky, and that's where she was raised. And then she did move to Connecticut during World War II, of course, with her family when she was a little girl. And this is her story.
You were raised in the hills of East Kentucky. Like your mama and her mama before her. In your best Sunday dress, you felt so lucky. You were through and through a Perry County girl. You were loud, loud as crickets after supper. Talking miles, pouring smiles like lemonade. Harvest air, running barefoot with your brother. You would leave this all behind, but then you wish you'd stayed. And you're still a red-haired girl from Hazard, even though you left so many years ago. Found love were young, fresh as buttercups in May. But in time, you made three kids together, and you raised them when your man was far away. And you're still the red-haired girl from Hazard, even though you left so many years ago. Now some folks say leaving just don't matter, then why does coming back be like coming home? Got old and your eyes drew lines from laughing. With your daughters you'd spend your final years. Through it all the good and bad that happened, you showed us how to live right through the tears.
That was Grant Malloy Smith with a song about his mom and the red-haired girl from Hazard. And it comes from Grant's new album, Appalachia, American Stories. And for those of you who just tuned in, we have Grant Malloy Smith right here in the studio with us. And goodness gracious, Grant just showed me a whole production that of this album in a boxed set. Now, what do you do with this? Now, do you have more of these things? Or?
Oh, yeah, I've shipped out hundreds of them.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, the people can buy them right on my website. Music has become devalued these days, as we all know, because of streaming. There's good aspects of streaming, but I think it's also had negative repercussions because people don't tend to buy physical media anymore. I used to sell a lot of CDs, but no one really buys CDs so much anymore like they used to, because they took CD players out of all the cars, they took them out of all the computers, and so who's going to play a CD? I decided to double down on it, though, and say, all right, I'm not going to just make a CD, because that's no one will buy it, they'll just stream it. But why don't I go much farther and make something that's special and unique? I'll make a really nice box set with a vinyl LP, which is, even if you don't have a record player, I'd say probably half the people that bought it don't even have a record player. They just wanted it.
Yeah.
Because it's a memento, and when I sign each one, and it's a cool thing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
And then I wrote a book that you're going through right now that supports all the songs and tells you what, puts them into context with the culture and the history of Appalachia, and in some cases with my personal history, like the song you just played.
Goodness gracious. The book that goes along with the package is absolutely fantastic. I'm almost sorry I didn't have this before the program, because I would have learned a lot and had a lot of questions to ask you. And here I'm looking at the red-haired girl from Hazard, and it has all the words and a little story about Grant's mom, and we just heard that song. Grant Malloy Smith, once again, his website, grantmalloysmith.com, and the Malloy is one L. And if you're interested and you like this guy's music, and I don't know how you couldn't, that's his website. And as Grant said, these things are, you're able to purchase them on the website. And this is, I've never seen anything like this. This is a unique package. And it even comes with a little bit of coal, a tiny little, almost like little pebbles of coal.
Yeah.
But, goodness gracious, this is absolutely so amazing. So would you like to do another live one for us now?
This is a song called Boone's Five and Dime, and it's a little homage to all the little, and we have a lot of them around here in Roxbury, in this whole part of New York, little country stores. Usually they're not chains, it's not Target or Walmart. They're little, owned by families and people for generations, sometimes many generations. And my grandfather ran one in the Berkshires, not too far from here, back in the 1930s. And I just thought it would be a nice touch to have on the record to pay my respects to those people that run those little family-owned five-and-dime stores and general stores.
I'm Nathan Boone, welcome to my store. Please tell me what you're looking for. If you're just browsing, that's just fine. You'll find me down on Highway 9. I got coats and tars on sale, pecan pies and ginger ale, ropes and rakes and paint and string. Oh, yes, I got most anything. Way down in my youngest days, so far back in time, dreamed of hearing that bell and saying, welcome to Boone's Five and Dime. Those plates are 5 or 3 for 10. Thank you, ma'am, for coming in. Oh, look at me, I talk too much. I'm lonely since the mine closed up. I work so late most every night, I never made time for a wife. My brother's boy works summers here, building box and head cashier. Way down in my youngest days, so far back in time, I dreamed of hearing that bell and saying, welcome to Boone. Five and Dime. I'm Nathan Boone, welcome to my store. Please tell me what you're looking for. If you're just browsing, that's just fine. You'll find me down Highway 9.
We've been speaking here with Grant Malloy Smith and his new album, Appalachia American Stories. I've been sitting here looking at this incredible pamphlet. I don't know what you'd call it. What do you call this
thing? I'd just call it a book.
A book. Okay, yeah. It actually is.
It's like liner notes, but on acid.
It's more, you know.
Way more than liner notes.
Yeah, it's much way more than liner notes. And I was reading about the introduction you have here to the song By and By the Way. And it says, it's hard to imagine working in a mine 100 or more years ago. Mm. The ceilings were often only 3.5 feet. Yeah. About 1 meter from the floor, forcing everyone to walk bent over from morning to night. Yeah. and performing dangerous and physically stressful manual labor all day in the dark, breathing in coal dust while perpetually bent over, required tenacity, toughness, and an uncommonly strong back. These are the kinds of things you'd get from Grant's description of all of this.
He used to pull out survivors, but they never did find anybody alive. And it was a real tragedy. I've been to Monongah a few times, and there's all kinds of memorials set up there, as you can imagine. But that was a sobering day in America. But some of those disasters, like that one in particular, led to better safety regulations being enforced, you know, being imposed from above, which they had to be, because they just wouldn't do it themselves unless they were forced to do it to make the mines safer to work in. And so the MSA was formed back then, the Mine Safety Association, and all kinds of other rules came about. So it ended up being a good thing, even though it was a tragedy, obviously, big proportions.
Deep in contemplation, praying in my hands, Lord, why am I alive? I just don't understand. It was early Friday, 9, 6, and 8. Black damp and open lamps, I got there too late. Cutting up my hands, picking slates since I was 8. That mine made me a man. Ended up a driver, hitching up the mules. They can't run, can't see the sun, but I think we're the fools. By and by, by and by, by the way. By and by, by and by, by the way. There's a long line of suffering and cold dust tears today. Prayed for those we lost, but look what heaven's found.
By and by the way, Grant Molloy Smith. Grant is with me here, and we're discussing his new album, Appalachia American Stories. And now on the album, Grant, there's a song called Gas Station Chicken. And in the little book here, let me read this. You say, if you had been passing by a house hundreds of years ago in the Scottish Highlands, you might have caught the distinctive smell of chicken being fried in fat. It was as popular there as the potato in Ireland. Fried chicken came across the ocean in the New World in the 1600s and 1700s with these immigrants, but it was a bland, unseasoned recipe back then. Tell me more about this.
Everyone knows about the influence of African Americans on music, but what about their influence on our food? They took that very boring, bland fried chicken that we used to have here, and they spiced it up, and they made it really what it is today. And I'm a Southern boy, and I'll tell you what, I can smell a good piece of fried chicken about three counties away. And
Where does one get good fried chicken?
It's got to be, it can't be out of some bag or out of a back of a truck or a can. It's got to be made. And the song, I hope you play the song, it's actually got a lot of the recipe in it. And the book has one of the original recipes from the, I think, the 1800s, I think.
It does?
Yeah.
How cool is this?
It's a little recipe. Yeah, but anyway, it's got to be made right there. You take a couple of brown eggs, some buttermilk, some flour. You got to, there's a thing called double dipping, which means you take the chicken and you roll it around in that stuff, the combination of buttermilk and flour and all that. And if you do it twice, then it gets the you know, that layer of skin that gets fried.
Wow.
That's really not very healthy for you. Honestly, it's not. So you shouldn't be having fried chicken every night. Yeah. Once a month. It's not
every
gonna,
so often.
You're
going
to die from
wrong
something, so you might as well enjoy your life a little bit.
Well, I walked right in and sat down by magazines and chips. She flashes me her hazel eyes above those ruby lips. I'm barely scraping by, Lord, I'm about to die. Gas station chicken gonna help me get my fix. Oh, she loved me. Oh, Lord, she treat me right. Gas station chicken gonna taste real good tonight. Station chicken gonna taste real good tonight. Two brown eggs, buttermilk and flour. She mixes it and double tips, a true bill of the South. Cast iron pan, it's spitting like a cat. She says it's gonna take some time, so I might as well step back. I wander to the freezer and I get us both a beer. She tells me that she's working and hang it over here. Now I'm assistant cook at the cheap filled dinner nook. Oh, look at me, mom, a sous chef volunteer. Oh, she loved me. Oh, Lord, she treat me right. Gas station chicken gonna taste real good tonight. Oh, that gas station chicken gonna taste real good tonight. Chicken gonna taste real good tonight. Oh, that gas station chicken gonna taste real good tonight.
Gas station chicken makes you hungry. The song itself, as you said, almost has the recipe in it. This comes from Grant's album, Appalachia American Stories, a brand new album. And you could get more information by going to grantmalloysmith.com. That's Malloy with one L. And I have Grant in the studio with me. So, Grant, we never really spoke too much about your background and growing up and how you got to where you are right now.
Yeah.
Let's go through that journey.
I think when I was a real little kid, like 4 or 5 years old, I was torn between the world was going crazy over the Beatles. And so being like a typical 4 or 5 year old, I was too. I wanted to be in the Beatles. I figured they would take me if I could just get a little bit taller. And they never did, but I wonder why. But I was torn between that and my Grammy from Kentucky, my mother's mother. She would visit us and she played her, what she called her mountain music, like Bill Monroe and people like that. And Ralph Stanley, the old bluegrass, and even before bluegrass when they called it mountain music. And the country music of the day, the classic, mm-hmm. like Johnny Cash and that kind of stuff. And I liked that too. And I was torn. So from my formative years, I liked them both. I, as a child, I had an interesting record collection of Bill Captain Kangaroo record and a couple of Beatles records. That was my record collection, very eclectic. And then, I could always play music. I always had a guitar or something like that. My mother played the piano. And so I could sit down at the piano and play things, even though I didn't know how to really do anything. I didn't know anything about music, but I could play by ear. But I didn't know that was unusual. I thought everyone could do that. I just had no idea that it was unusual. And at the end of high school, I was an artist my whole life, by the way. So those books and all the album covers and stuff. Yeah, I did all the artwork and all that stuff. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going to be an artist before I was a musician. That's what I was leading up to be when I actually went to art college after high school. But I really got bit very badly by the music bug right at the end of high school. Right at the last 2 weeks of high school, I saw one of my friends sitting in the courtyard. We had an outdoor courtyard in our high school. When you're a senior, you got nothing to do anymore. You just have two classes a day and then you're done. I'd wander around and I saw him sitting on the grass and he was playing the guitar. My friend Scott, and he was one of the shyest boys. He was a good-looking guy, but he would go to a dance and he would stand with his back against the gym wall. He would never ask a girl to dance. And if they came up to him, he would, you know, mutter a few things and turn all red. He was so shy. But yet, he's sitting there with a guitar on the grass, playing and singing songs. And when I saw that it was him, I just couldn't believe my eyes because he was so shy. I didn't have the guts to do that when I was 17 years old. And the thing that really struck me next after that shock was that he was surrounded by girls. And they were all just batting their eyelashes at him and just swooning. And it's like, wow. I stood there for a long second and I thought to myself, I got to get me a guitar. And that was the beginning of the end for me. I got a guitar about a week later for $15 at a yard sale. And I actually picked it up. I was riding my bike. I didn't even have a car. I was 17. I was 18. I wasn't 18 till I went to college because I started school a little early where my birthday is. And I found it very difficult to ride my bike with the guitar. So I had to walk 2 miles back to my house with my guitar and with my bike in one hand, with the handlebars. And that was the beginning of the end for me. I was in music when I was a young man, like 19, 20. I was in rock bands and that kind of thing. Uh-huh. But I wrote all the songs. And then I sort of, as I got older, I just went back to my roots from Appalachia, from my Grammy, that music that she played me. I think it suits my age better because I'm not 17 anymore. And it just fit my sensibility about music and about lyrics because it's really a storytelling genre. It's not like pop songs are limited in the sense that there's just like a moment in time and they're a mood. And that's the end of it. Whereas with what I do, I can... And as you can see from the book I wrote and all that, it's more than just some songs to me. It's a big... It's something I spend several years working on. Yeah. Same with the album before it, Dust Bowl. I spent 3 years on that one too.
Your albums here, Dust Bowl and Yellow Trailer, the artwork on those albums is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So now you're still doing that. You're still painting all the time.
I think music and art are two sides of the same coin in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Do you sell your paintings online? I didn't notice
that.
No,
I don't.
Why don't you?
Because I don't do enough of them. I'm really focused on music. And so I just really do music art for two reasons, graphic arts. One is for my records. And the other is every once in a while I do a portrait of someone in my family.
Ah, you know? Neat. That's so nice.
I don't have time to do it. It's very time consuming.
Yeah.
Even more so than music.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to do another? Can you do another live one?
Sure, yeah. I'll do a song from the Dust Bowl record.
Okay. How about that? Absolutely.
And I wrote this to be the Dust Bowl. I'm sure people are familiar with it to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big environmental disaster we had in the 1930s in the Great Plains when it didn't rain for most of the decade. And that combined with too much people plowing up the dirt and all that kind of stuff and lack of irrigation, lack of crop rotation, it led to these enormous dust storms. And it led to, if you've read the John Steinbeck classics, The Grapes of Wrath, and then the follow-up to that he wrote, those are really stories of families leaving Oklahoma and Texas and going out to California, to the Central Valley, where we were talking about earlier, Bakersfield in particular. You'll hear the word Bakersfield in this song. And to try to start a new life because they couldn't grow anything anymore in the Great Plains. They had to move out to California, which is very agricultural out there in that part of California. So I wanted to write a song to celebrate that, to celebrate the Americans that went out there. They weren't treated very well. They were treated like illegal aliens in their own country. they put up like almost not really walls, but they put up poll taxes at the entrance to California. They would send the police in to rouse people out of wherever they set up to try to live, and they weren't treated too well. You know, they were like illegal aliens in their own country in a lot of ways. And if you read Grapes of Wrath, you'll find out all about that. But this is meant to celebrate their strength of spirit and their true American nature of being strong and able to overcome. And they did overcome. It's called I Come From America. And if you hear a little Woody Guthrie in there, I'd be honored if you did.
And you see the Texas in my eyes. I love her, but she's still strong in me. We broke down in Kingman, so we walked to Bakersfield. Don't you know the mother of? I come from America, America. I come from America, America's from me. Can you hear the pilgrim in my voice? Well, sure, violent, forgiving winds. Beggars can't be choosers, but we choose to still be men. Don't you know? I come from America. I come from America. America's from me. We're the desperate and unwanted. We're the strangers from shanty side of town. To my eyes look proud but haunted. That's the destiny in me. That's the Texas that you see. Can you feel the prairie on my skin? Baked and brown from work and sweat and tears. Daddy always told me that the dirt would take us in. Don't you? I come from America, America. I come from America. America's from me. I come from America. I come from America. America's from me.
Live right here in the studio of WIOX, that was Grant Molloy Smith with I Come From America. And as Grant said, that comes from his album Dust Bowl.
Yes.
And yeah, Dust Bowl. Woody Guthrie did many Dust Bowl ballads, and certainly a great tribute to Woody. And yeah, I don't think your voice sounds like Woody, but I hear that Woody influence in there, absolutely. I'm speaking with Grant Molloy Smith, and he's here in the studio with me. And I have so many other questions about some of the projects that Grant has been involved in. I also want to mention the fact Grant, this latest album, Appalachia American Stories, it's earning rave reviews from American Highways, Music Row Magazine, Bluegrass Today, Roots Music Report, and lots more. And the song that he just sang from the album Dust Bowl American Stories spent 17 weeks on the Billboard charts, including 11 weeks in the top 10. And Grant made his Carnegie Hall debut in 2018. He's won numerous awards, including two Grammy certificates, and he'll be appearing at Carnegie Hall again in April of 2022 and Lincoln Center in December, this coming December. That's fantastic. He's just been inducted into the Indie Music Hall of Fame in Hollywood, and no depression was the quote that I gave before. His lyric and music as potent as Woody Guthrie. Americana Highway magazine says, and I quote, "If you took a few ounces of Willie Nelson and Jimmy Dale Gilmore, mix them carefully, Grant Molloy Smith would appear. One day we'll be talking about how Grant Molloy Smith is a national treasure, like John Prine. I'd be the first to say it so. That was a really nice quote from...
And coincidentally, that is how my parents created me. They took the people and immersed them together. They shook them up real good. And they got in trouble for that.
Now, if you go to grantmolloysmith.com, you'll be able to take a look at Grant's books. And I was looking at, I forgot to download this thing. Maybe you could do it live. I was looking, if you go to that website, Grant's website, and click the tab that says books, there's a video of a song called Fly, Possum, Fly.
I knew you were going to talk about that.
And we were watching this last night and just having a joyous time watching it. Tell me about that. And tell me about the books.
Yeah, it kind of, I'll tell you how I accidentally started making these. They're children's books, actually, but they come from songs that I wrote. One in particular, the first one that caused this whole thing to start was, I did it, in fact, I was doing a radio show, just like this one, down in Eastern Tennessee with, it doesn't matter, Tim White, but he's a great guy, great bluegrass player himself and a radio DJ down there.
I know him.
And I really, he also is the MC of a TV show called Song of the Mountain, which is taped in southwestern Virginia. That I was trying to get on. I did get on eventually. And he could make that happen for me. So I was currying favor with him. And it was just about this time of year. It was maybe 5 weeks before Christmas, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in his studio that he had nothing but possums, like stuffed possums, plush ones, toy ones, of course, and pictures on the wall and funny bumper stickers and all the rest of that. And I said, Tim, what is your fascination with possums? And he said, I don't know. I just love them and I just think they're funny. And they're a much maligned creature in the South, particularly because they have great hearing and great smell, but they have terrible eyesight. And they get mashed by cars a lot. So you roadkill everywhere you go. And so I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a song for him, a bluegrass song about possums, and make it about Christmas so that he'll play it. And so I went home and I immediately did that. And the only thing I could think of was a crazy idea. Like, what if Santa was up on my dad's roof when I was a child and he saw that the reindeers were sick and they couldn't go on? And then my dad, who had 20 possums, would bring them up there and Santa could put his magical Santa dust on them and make them able to pull the sleigh and then they'd save Christmas. So I wrote that song. I think I might have been doing mushrooms. I don't know what was wrong. I was not in my right mind, but I wrote the song and I sent it to him and he did play it and I did get on the show. And then somebody said, you got to make that into a children's book. That would be a very cute book. So I did that. I drew the pictures and my publicist found a publisher for me in West Virginia and they published it.
That is so cool. And now did you all of the artwork in the video?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, the video has the pictures from the book in it.
You can't play that song now, can you?
Oh, I might be able to play. That would be a good one to play as a Christmas. It is a Christmas song, obviously.
Yeah, it is.
I have to look up the words because I haven't sung it in so long.
That's not a problem. I wish I had. It's not on any recording that you have, so.
It is. I can give you a link to download it if you want to play the.
Well, we can't do it. We can't. Yeah. We wouldn't be able to do it now from the studio. But yeah, I could have. I could have ripped it off YouTube or whatever. But it is. It's really a great not only song but the artwork and the video that's on Grant's website is really fun to watch. And the song is Fly, Possum, Fly.
Yeah. If for those who might know Emmy Sunshine, she's a great young singer, amazing singer, bluegrass voice, and she is a real up-and-comer. I think she's going to be a star like Dolly Parton.
Really?
Before too many years have gone by. I think she's about 17 now.
And she's singing with you on this?
Yes. Yeah, she's the lead. She sings the lead on it because I wanted her on.
Oh, okay.
And I sang harmony with her. We've played it around Tennessee and Virginia and a few other places, and we had a good time.
So this will encourage you to visit Grant's website. Once again, it's grantmolloysmith.com. And you will be able, if you go to the books, you'll find a couple of videos, not only Fly, Possum, Fly, but also The Possibilities Are Endless. And this is another song from Grant and his artwork. And
I don't remember what key I played it in, so I'm going to look that up right now.
Okay.
And I'll be ready to play in about 30 seconds, I think.
Okay. Grant Molloy Smith, just an amazing and talented artist, not only musically, but also his artwork is, like I said, is fantastic. And it's a shame that you don't have your artwork on your website and for sale. Joe Crookston, he's a folk artist, and he does have many of his paintings for sale on his website. If you wanted to part with them, or if you, it's another way that, yeah, another source of income. It's up to you. But I'll tell you, I would buy one of these. I would, really. They're fantastic. It's the kind of art that I like. And gosh, it almost looks like a photograph. Really pretty.
Thank you. You want to hear some Fly Possum Fly?
Yeah, I sure do.
Right.
Grant Malloy Smith live right here in the WIOX studios.
One Christmas Eve, he won't forget. Old Santa nearly pitched a fit. When Rudolph came down with the flu, he got weak and he turned blue. Reindeer cried and whinnied on that rooftop in Virginia, and it looked like Santa Claus was really through. My dad climbed up the ladder. He said, Nick, that just don't matter. I've got some friends with poor eyesight. They can help you guide your sleigh all right. Even if it's snowing, just point to where you're going. I'll hook you up a pass till here tonight. Fly, possum, fly, lift old Santa to the sky. Get those bags of toys to everyone. Fly, possum, fly, nature's cleanup crew on high. You got 8 more hours to get it. With curly tails and pointed snouts, 50 teeth and little mouths, they flew on from hill to dale, delivering their special mail. Jackson, Jills, and Joey, spurred by Santa's ho-ho-ing, with true blue possum hearts they could not fail. Fly, possum, fly, lift old Santa to the sky. Get those bags of toys to everyone. Fly, possum, fly, nature's cleanup crew on high. You've got 6 more hours to get it done. From Illinois to Tennessee, from Muscle Shoals to Abilene, they flew all night on Stardust tracks, babies on their mother's backs. So now the skinny that right here in Virginia, we saved Christmas Eve, and that's a fact. Fly, possum, fly, lift old Santa to the sky. Get those bags of toys to everyone. Fly, possum, fly, nature's cleanup crew on high. You got 4 more hours to get it done. Fly, possum, fly, lift old Santa to the sky. Get those bags of toys to everyone. Fly, possum, fly, nature's cleanup crew on high. You've got 2 more hours to get it.
There you go, Grant Malloy Smith with Fly, Possum Fly. It's not available on any of his albums, but as I said, if you go to Grant's website, you will be treated to a very cute video of this song. And as Grant said, he's not singing the lead on that. He is doing harmony. And who's the lady that
needs sunshine?
All right. Also on that section of the website is a follow-up to Fly, Possum, Fly called The Possibilities Are Endless. Right. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, the publisher asked me to make a follow-up to the first book, so I had to figure out what to write about. And so I ended up making a song and then a book from the song about showing that children that they can be whatever they want to be, whatever they set their minds to, whatever they have the talent to do, whatever they strive to do. They can do it, and they shouldn't limit themselves. And so it's called a tongue-in-cheek thing. It says the possibilities are endless. And it shows little possums doing different jobs. You could be an artist. You could be a plumber. You could be a soldier. You can be a banker. You can be whatever, you know, floats your boat, whatever you want to be. And I put the possums in those vocations to show kids, to inspire them. Maybe they do something different or something that, you know, that maybe they don't want to admit or... Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be Batman, and I wanted to be an astronaut, and I wanted to be in the Beatles. And I didn't achieve any of those 3 things.
But I wanted to be Superman. As a matter of fact, where I lived in the projects, I guess I must have been 8 years old or something. Mm. My mother made me a Superman. She was a seamstress. Oh. She made me a Superman suit. Wow. And you know that I almost jumped off the frigging roof? I'm telling you, my sister had to come and catch me because I thought I could fly because I had the suit on.
Yeah, because,
but in any event,
dress for the job you
thankfully
want, right?
I was.
We once saw a Batman costume in a store. That said, had a warning label on it that said, warning, cape does not allow user to fly.
Really, you have to these days. You never know. Some of the notes I have says that you have a single called I See You, mm-hmm. and it was released with the support of Masterpiece Living, an organization dedicated to creating better lives for our elders. And a song that you wrote called I Reckon was recorded by country star Jeff Claiborne and spent weeks on the Music Row Country Breakout chart in the late 2019. And also, this is the follow-up album. At that time, it was due for release in June of 21, and it's also been released. And this album, which we didn't really mention, features A-list Nashville players. And you can tell us who the people are on the Appalachia.
Oh, yeah. Boy, it's a long list. But on dobro, we have Rob Ikes, who's one of the greatest dobro players on the planet. And playing lead guitar, the real two stuff that's too fast for me to play is Trey Hensley. He's just a genius on the guitar. We have Matt Combs on fiddle. He's played at the Grand Ole Opry for years. Right now he's doing I can't say what it is, but he's doing a great track with some really super famous person. I can't say what it is, though.
Okay.
He's plays with all these people play with all the biggest stars in country and bluegrass music. We have Mike Johnson on pedal steel. He's played with every country star you've ever heard of. He's been on the road with them and played on their records. He's got Jelly Roll Johnson, one of a great harmonica player. He's on a couple of songs. And Matt Burgess on percussion. Oh boy, Tim Lorsch plays. He's a great Nashville player. He plays everything with strings on it. He can play. Same with Matt Combs. He can play anything with strings on it. And boy, I guess those are the main people. There might be one or two more, but those are the guys. And there's one woman I've got to mention. Several women I have to mention. Frances Cunningham. She plays the bouzouki. And I don't know if not bazooka, not like a weapon, but bouzouki looks like a really big mandolin. It's
right.
A Greek instrument. And it's got a really cool sound to it. That she's playing on several songs. And there's a song called I Found Faith, which is a gospel song that I wrote that features Reverend Janice Brown. She sings with me. And she is a great gospel singer. She had a huge hit back in the 80s called Rough Side of the Mountain. And she's just a legend and great to have her on there. And then I have two great female singers, gospel singers, on that same song, Kim Mont and Kim Fleming. They're both amazing. And then I did forget to mention Jeff Taylor, who's one of the greatest accordion players, keyboard player in general, but he's best known for playing the accordion. He plays with Vince Gill and the Time Jumpers. Right. He's won several. All these people have, pretty much all of them, won a Grammy or got nominated once or twice or 12 times. I think Mike Johnson's won the ACM, the American Academy of Country Music Instrumentalist Award, at least once. These are all great people. They're all way better than I am. That's why you hire them, because they're so good that they make me sound better than I am.
Well, we kind of ran out of time. There's a lot more that Grant and I spoke about, but I thought I'd close out this hour-long podcast with a live song that Grant sang, the last song that he sang during this interview, and the name of it is Ride That Train. Here's Grant Malloy-Smith, and I want to thank you all for listening. I especially want to thank Grant and his wife for coming down from Rhode Island to join me in the studios in Roxbury, New York. And we might fade this song out at the end just to keep within the hour-long time limit that we're allotted. But I do want to thank you all for listening. And I once again hope that you join me right back here, however you're listening, for another episode of Mostly Funk.
I still dream, but I can't sleep without you. I still roam, but I'm not free. I still rise, even when I'm falling. Don't you wait don't wait for me. Ride that train, light that flame without me. Ride that train, break that chain. I still love, yes, I still love you. I still ache, but I don't seem to care. You were all I ever wanted. Don't look back, you ain't headed there. Ride that train, light that flame without me.